Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of 1 Timothy chapter 1, we were taught that there can be no pure, true love of God or love of the brethren if we are continually taught false doctrine. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Now, our goal, the end, is what we mean by our goal. It has the sense of the goal in Greek. And the end of the law, that is what is meant by the commandment. The goal of it is love out of a pure heart. Now, a good conscience is also part of the goal. That is scripturally good toward God. And then faith. So the goal, the end of the law, is love out of a pure heart, a good conscience that is scripturally good toward God, and faith that is genuine, true to the word of God, obedient faith, true to the doctrine. That is why the local church is not for your entertainment. It is for the worship of God. True praise and true worship take place when the Word of God is taught, preached, and heeded in our heart. Woe to the preacher who will not preach the Word for fear of offending the world, because then he offends God. Whatever sows discord with the Word of God, and therefore godly brethren, weakens the local church. It weakens the faith in heart. So the goal, especially as it relates to what is taught in verses 3 and 4, are the things that we see here in verse 5. There can be no true, pure, and genuine love of God, let alone the brethren, if the believer's mind is continually violated by that which is false doctrine, by that which is worldly, and by that which is always debating against the truth, that has a critical heart of the truth, that is always questioning the truth. So we start towards God's goal as it's laid out here in verse 5. Charity of a pure heart, a good conscience, and a faith unfeigned. Not fake. Faith that is genuine. So we stick to it by stopping some things, starting some things, and finally, by not swerving. Here in verses 6 through 8. Let me read these together. From which some of you, having swerved, and that's talking about what? The pure heart, the good conscience, and the faith unfeigned in verse 5. From which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully. Now, the word swerve is from the Greek word that means to miss the mark. That is why the words turned aside follow swerve, because they've missed the mark. They've turned aside. Don't turn aside, my friend, from following the Lord. See, this idea of turn aside means to twist or turn out. As with the bones of the body, when they are dislocated, they're twisted or they're turned out of their location. And this is looking at the body from God's point of view. These are people the pastor is warned to watch for in case they dislocate parts of the body, especially with false doctrine. And most often, they do this by vain jangling. Vain jangling means empty talk. It does not edify. As a little boy, did you ever put metal washers in your pocket, maybe like I did as a little boy, and jangle it so your friends think that you have money? And when you're a little guy, they think you're rich. You got money in your pocket. And there you are just jangling some washers, metal washers in your pocket. Well, some jangle religious words to make people think they're spiritual. But in time, one learns they're dedicated to a fad, not to the Word of God. These are people who always question and cast doubt on the Word of God. You'll find they often accuse the heroes of the faith. There are people that have written books on what a lousy person Noah was, what a lousy person King David was, and on down the line. Well, isn't it interesting? God calls them righteous. God blessed them, and God put them in a position of use. And they speculate things. They'll read a certain passage. I remember a man reading a passage one time and saying Sarah obeyed her husband, called him Lord, and she was blessed. And then he twisted to say, therefore, if your husband, just like Abraham told Sarah, tell him you're my sister, and he lets him let the king take her to be his wife, that's already his wife. And I've heard him say, so if your husband commands you to swap wives, that you should do that because you'd be disobeying if you didn't. See, that's twisting the scriptures. Oh, David was a terrible father. The reason King Solomon was bad, and the reason King Rehoboam and all the kings of Judah fell, and following that, the kings of Israel as well, the reason they all fell was because David was a bad dad. Why do Christian people, or so-called Christian people, take the philosophies of Freud and Spock and say, all right, people aren't responsible for their sin. It's someone else's fault. We can go all the way back to Adam and Eve and not take responsibility for our sin. But my friend, that's not going to get you into heaven by blaming Adam and Eve. You better say, I am responsible. Repent of your sin and be saved. Now, pastors can swerve from God's love to a love as the world loves by soft-soaping the word. And on the other hand, not preaching the truth as it applies to the moment. I think of something Martin Luther said. He said, if I profess with the loudest voice and dearest exposition every portion of the truth of God, except precisely that little point, which the world and the devil are at the moment attacking. He avoids that. He says, I am not confessing Christ, however boldly I may be professing Christ. Where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved. And to be steady on all the battlefield, besides, is merely flight and disgrace. If he flinches at that point, that is the point where the battle rages. Too many preachers have flinched. They've allowed the world into their church. They've allowed that music into their church. They've lowered the standards in the church. They've made salvation an easy believism. They've removed repentance. And it's not where he, the Lord, leads me, I will follow. No, it's where the most popular religious thing that's going on that builds numbers leads me, I will follow. Well, the preacher's to stick to it. And the congregation is to stick to it. That is the pure word of God and doctrine. Don't be a quitter. Have you been involved and you quit? What have you been doing since? Maybe you were involved in teaching Sunday school, singing in a choir, working on a bus ministry, working in a homes ministry where you go to the retirement homes or maybe to the juvenile shelters. And you quit. You might say, well, I just didn't feel like God wanted me in it. But you're not doing anything now. What you need to do is be the righteous man who, falling down seven times, gets up again. You get up again. Now, in that day, there were Judaizers and pagan converts. They were seeking to be teachers by adding in some of what they brought with them from their Judaizing religion and their paganism. If you don't turn with your whole heart to the Lord, somewhere along the line, you're going to begin to confuse the teaching of the Word as not to offend what you have held on to. The law is actually for those without morals and standards who instead believe that they've got liberty to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, my friend, we need to stick to the revealed Word of God because it never, never, never changes. Stick. Don't swerve, my beloved brethren. Again, Jesus came to save from sin, not to sin. Jesus told the lost, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. By that he meant they would go to hell. Those are strong words. Jesus said that the world hated him in John 7:7 because he testified that their deeds were evil. We live in a day where it's wanted to make it a hate crime to preach against the sin, the awful, low-down, vile, terrible, gutter, abomination to God's sin of a man and woman moving in and living together without the benefit of marriage, of premarital and extramarital sex. Do you realize there are young teenagers that have had sexual relations at a younger age than when you kissed your first boyfriend or girlfriend? And then homosexuality? Another abomination to God? Do you realize that God puts homosexuality on his list as an abomination, but also he puts gossip on that list? He puts sowing discord among brethren on that list. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.